You're listening to the Inner Process Podcast with your hosts, Mike Vaughn and Jason Van Ruler. We're seasoned counselors and friends, and each episode we discuss topics that help us live all around healthier lives. Listen in as we share personal stories, research, and our experiences as therapists. Thank you for joining us. So in this episode, Jason and I are talking about how to wait well. You know, there just are those times in your life when you know that probably you're going to move, maybe you're going to make a change, maybe you're going to do something different, but it's just not the time yet. And so in the last episode, we talked about how to get unstuck, how to make those changes that we would like to make and know that we need to make. But sometimes the best thing that we can do is to simply wait. And there are many benefits of waiting when we are supposed to and not forcing issues. And so today we talk about the benefits, how to do it well, what that really looks like, what are the tools for it. And we hope that through this episode, maybe for any of you listening that are kind of in the meantime, you're waiting for the next thing and you're needing to just exercise patience, that this episode will be helpful in that. We share some stories around that from our own lives because we have much experience waiting. Thank you for listening as always. Please leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast and tell a friend. We very much appreciate it. As always, thank you guys for listening to the Inner Process Podcast. So last week, if you heard the last episode, if you didn't, go back and take a listen to that. We were talking about getting unstuck. You know, how do you, when you're in a place in life that you feel stuck for whatever reason, in whatever way, how do you dislodge yourself? How do you get moving forward again? And so that was a really good episode, but it made us think about, well, what do you do though in the times in life that you are stuck, but that really it is not best in that moment to do anything. So you have to wait. And so the idea today is, in the meantime, what do we do before we can move forward? Or it's healthiest not to move forward at different points. And so we're going to talk about that. And it just so happens that Jason and I have had plenty of times in life that we have done the in the meantime thing, right, Jason?
There's been a few mean times. Yeah. I always think the mean time is, I think it's different than stuck in the sense that stuck is maybe we're not sure as to how to get there. But the meantime is we maybe have an idea, but we can't make it happen any faster than it's going to. It's where the timing of it is reliant on somebody else or another opportunity. And so we might know exactly how we want that to look rather than being stuck, but we don't have the control over it that we want.
And I would add to that, that I think there's another part, which is that we may know some part of where potentially we're going, but we just don't know enough in full to take those steps as well. I think both of those exist. And so I know that I've been guilty of, when I found out a little part of where I think I'm going to go next, trying to run ahead and race ahead and get to that place, when really what I needed to do is what we're talking about today, is just, it's to wait. And to wait in a healthy way and let those next steps kind of unfurl more in front of me. So there's an element of that too, I think, as well. I totally agree with what you're saying also. What we're talking about today isn't about, I think, I'm just stuck and I can't do anything, so I guess I'll wait. You know, that resigned, I'll just wait. And it's a healthy version of maybe there's a real benefit to waiting. So it turns out that maybe you have a little story for us around this potentially today.
I've got a thousand stories about this. This is my whole life. I'm very impatient. So this is, the meantime happens to me every day, unfortunately.
In the meantime is like the podcast episode of your every single day experience.
We could record in the meantime about me getting coffee, because I'm like, hey, I'm in here 3 minutes. I know what I need to get. When this is happening? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I can't sit here.
To that point, they have actually done research around people waiting in line and what happens to people even physiologically when they wait in line, when they're waiting for something. So I won't trot that out, but there are interesting studies around that experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not usually like a guy that has road rage in the line to get coffee. I will say some things because, you know, sometimes it goes too slow. So I reserve that for then. But this, you know, that's a funny thing. I think for a lot of people, though, it's more serious than that. You know, yeah. It's maybe there's a significant health diagnosis, or there's, you know, applying for a job or applying for a transfer, or a relationship that you don't know where it's going, or things like that, which are probably more of what we're talking about, is that in the meantime, what do I do?
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And there is a healthy way to do that. And there are some real benefits from it. And I think that's the critical piece, even for those really big things like you're talking about, because of course, most of us in life, as we journey forward, we're going to hit these in the meantime times around some serious things, or at least those things that are serious in that moment.
Yeah, that we just can't push our way through or make happen any faster. Then it reminds me, you know, when I first got started as a counselor, I was really excited. I just wanted to build a practice instantly.
Yeah.
And I like to have really high expectations. So I figured it'd been a week that hadn't happened. And so I was really, really stressed out about it. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he said, you know, the thing is like, you can't make that happen any faster. You can just spend a lot of time getting good at what you're doing. And so he said, you know, if you're the best at your job, everything else will fall in place because you really can't do anything else. And so I think what I took away from that, and I've used this a ton just in my own life with other people too, is how do we make what we're doing the best it can be, knowing that, you know, we don't have a time machine. We can't make things happen sometimes any faster than they're going to, or if they're even going to happen at all.
Yeah, I love that, because I think that that draws us maybe to one of the actual benefits of waiting. And I know we've talked about this in other places, but it's just being present in life in this moment. It's doing the things that I can do right now. And, you know, we talked a few episodes ago about accepting those things we can't change. I think it kind of draws a little bit of that into that as well. Like, how can I really be present, except the fact that either I don't have enough information, or it's just simply not the right time to do something different? Or in your case, accept the fact that there are maybe steps that I need to take now that are maybe not where I would like this thing to be, but it is where it is right now, and just appreciate that and try to do that the best that I can. I think that's a good story, because it, I think it represents the appreciation component and being present, and like some of these things that are the healthy parts of the really the benefits of waiting, even though I know sometimes it doesn't feel like a benefit really for us.
No, and it didn't initially. And it took a lot of work for me to kind of embrace that, because, you know, I wasn't as busy as I wanted to be. And you know, I'll say I still had way too high of expectations. So sometimes you have to kind of analyze what am I expecting to happen here in terms of, is this kind of congruent with what other people would experience? And over time, I was able to enjoy that. But I think some of it too is just realizing our human nature is to always want the next thing. I mean, that's, I think, just kind of hardwired into us, is to feel that way. And just recognize that even when you get that, you know, and you can probably relate to this, even when you get a full practice or you get to the place you want to go, you're in the meantime for something else.
That's right. I can most definitely relate to that. And I can even relate to that on a personal level. So in our household, we have something that now everyone in the family, I think, but me hates. And that's what we call no spend January.
No spend January. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it is. And so in no spend January, you know, we've come through the holidays. Everyone's gotten their heart's desire for Christmas. You know, I'm being, you know, facetious. We don't, but we have presents. It happens that my wife and I have birthdays right after Christmas. And so there are plenty of things that come into the household. And so a while back, I came up with a spending moratorium for January. And no one loves it.
I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head at Mike. I'm tempting to shame it. Yeah.
I don't feel shame because it's so nice. But here's the thing. I mean, the reason that my wife and I as a couple, we do that is because it really is what you're talking about. It is to pause, to appreciate what we have already just acquired. And I think to your point, it is like us just to move on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I think that's human nature. I think it's also probably part of our culture here in the West. But we know it's not healthy. Like, we don't want our kids just to keep doing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, and buying and buying and buying. And, you know, like the no spend thing is just an example where maybe we should just pause, reflect upon what we have, appreciate what we have before then going to the next, because there's a certain striving energy that's underneath that, that I think is just not healthy. To me, that's what I think in the meantime represents so often is, and I feel this inside, like I'm striving, striving, striving. Well, what is it like though, to have peace, to appreciate where I am? And then to learn to tolerate the other feelings, because, I mean, there are negative things associated with waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why it's difficult to do in so many ways, because it's just more simple to try and fill that void with something. Some of the most profound understandings of ourselves and others comes from is by constantly striving and constantly filling.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is fill up that time. But you're right, it's not the best. I'm still, I'm hoping Jody doesn't hear this and start the No Spend January for us. So I might edit that part out. But great idea for you, not for me. That's
no, I'll just text
it's you. Such a good point. I mean, I think sometimes we fail to savor anything anymore, right? Because we're in such a mindset of, you know, to the next thing. I think about a friend that was looking for work, and he said, you know, it's just terrible. Like, I have all this time to sit at home and watch Netflix and like hang out, and I just want to be working. And so I'm applying, and like, I can't make it happen any faster. And I'm just applying and applying. And I'm going like, well, that sounds awesome. This sounds like I've got a lot of shows to catch up on. Like, this sounds really, really cool. And sure enough, he gets a job, and he's like, oh man, I'm so busy with work. Now I just want to get to the next place where I've earned my vacation and I can take a break. And so what I noticed, and not to pick on him, because I'm exact same way, like, we kind of get in that space of, okay, I can't rush it. I have to sit here, so I'll be miserable, and then I'll get it, and then I'll set another thing on the horizon and be miserable again.
Yes, that is the cycle if we're not incredibly intentional about stopping that. And then what makes it worse and compounds it, I think, is that sometimes in that space that's created, we know some things about maybe where we are going, but we don't know enough. And so we start racing ahead, but without enough proper information, or to your point earlier, just simply, we may not know it all, or we may know completely, but we still need to allow that space to do all the things that we're talking about, which are incredibly difficult. I mean, I hope we're not trying to make this us sound or make this sound like it's an easy task, what we're saying. It's most definitely not. And if it were, that would be the default. But I don't think it is, to your point, the default for any of us to do this. I think it is the intentional piece that we have to.
I'm going
to
say no, because it makes me feel better. Yeah, no, it's everyone's problem, not just mine. That helps me to feel better about it.
One of the things to do this well, I think, is I've kind of mentioned it briefly, but it's a learning thing. It truly is I think it's a discipline, but we have to learn to tolerate those things we feel, right? So in my house, when January comes and there's things, of course, that we'd like to buy or whatever the case may be, you know, I think we have to learn how to say, well, wait a minute, though, it's better not to. But I feel some things as a result of that. I'd like that thing. And maybe I'd like that thing really badly. I didn't realize that I would in January, but it's okay. So I have to kind of deal with that, quote unquote, distress. It's not that distressing. But in the bigger things of life, much bigger than No Spend January, the serious things of life, I think that's part of what we have to do, is learn to tolerate the emotional components of that.
Absolutely. I think tolerating is part of it. I think also something that I'll ask myself is just, what if I made this situation fun? So if I'm here and I'm going to have to sit through it or wait it out, what if I would try to look at it in a fun way? Is there a way I can do that? Or is there a way I could enjoy some part of it? And sometimes you have to be creative. So I think being creative is the other part of it. But there usually is something you can find that's enjoyable about it, at least for me. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I like that. And I would add to that, I guess, just slightly different, is also the appreciation piece, which I know, I mean, it's out there a lot, it's talked about a lot, but it actually makes a difference. I mean, on the days that I take my notepad and I write down the things I'm thankful for that day or for the day before, it really makes a difference. Now, sadly, I don't do that every day, and I should be doing it every single day, but it really does matter. And I think appreciating where we are, what we are learning in that time, and just all the things that we have and that we've been shown even throughout our life, I think that makes a difference as well. So that's in addition even to what you're saying, which I love. I think that's very true.
Yeah, that gratitude piece is important. And something that I learned through doing a lot of meditation is just that we can even be thankful for our breath, just that we're breathing. And so I know there's been times where I've been really sick for a week or two or something, and just thought to myself, like, what could I appreciate about this? Like, I can't make it change. I'm in it. So what can I appreciate? And I've literally been sick enough where I'm just like, I just appreciate I'm breathing. Like that, we'll keep it at that. It's pretty simple, but I can just be thankful for that today. And I think even just identifying that one thing gives you something to kind of have a foothold on.
I like that. It's like an anchor point. I can keep coming back to that at least. And even if it's so basic as I'm just thankful to be breathing right now when I feel otherwise so bad. Yeah, I love that. Because it just shows that there's always something that we can anchor into as far as what we appreciate. I know for me, part of what helps me get through these periods well is my faith and just really believing and trusting that if I don't have a clear path forward, there's a reason I shouldn't be moving forward. And so God's got control of that. And there might be some really important things that I might need to be learning in that space. And again, don't do it well all the time. It's really hard. But having that anchor point for me also is really, really helpful. Guys, just trust in something bigger than me in those moments, which I think we need, because so many times in life, we don't have all the answers. We don't know necessarily with clarity what the next steps are.
And that's not always a bad thing. I mean, I think sometimes I've been the lucky recipient of that, where had I pushed on my own or if it were up to me, I would have pushed in the wrong direction. And yes. So sometimes I think that actually works out really well in hindsight. But yeah, in the moment, it doesn't feel great.
It doesn't. And I think just dealing with that, learning to deal with that, being okay with the fact it doesn't, being okay with confusion, which is a really difficult, even physiologically, thing for us to deal with as human beings. We don't like uncertainty. We don't like confusion. I mean, I think we're very much designed, honestly, to move towards knowing and to not being uncertain, but uncertainty is part of this. And I think if we can tolerate that, then we can do this well. And then we can get and glean all the different things from it that we probably need. And even if we don't, it's okay. It's still a good practice just to allow space.
Yeah. I mean, as I think about it, almost any big thing that we do has a mean time.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, career wise or family, I mean, almost every big success in our life or milestone requires some doing without knowing, I think.
That's a great point. Maybe this takes it too far, but I would say that any bigger thing, it has to have the meantime almost. Like we have mm-hmm. to have that space to understand before we go to that thing. So I think that's a fabulous point, because I do think that's true. If I kind of look back through my life, that has definitely been true. Oh, well, I wanted that meantime, or, you know, that's a different matter, but it was there for everything in advance of the next thing.
Yeah. And sometimes we use that to kind of self-destruct along the way, and that's not helpful, obviously. And so then we have to kind of move to what we're talking about today, which is how do I be healthy in this space? How do I make the most of it? And even maybe come to enjoy it sometimes. I can think of some people who really enjoy that process or the meantime. They enjoy the waiting.
Mm.
I'm not wired that way. That's not my thing. But there's some people who can just find joy in doing the little things they can do along the way.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I wish I had more of that. That'd be fabulous.
Yeah. As I say it, I'm like, I got no clue. I can't tell you about it at all. Not me.
Maybe give me their names. I'll try to find out what their secrets are. But I think whether we're naturally wired that way or we can learn to be in that space, I think you're right. I mean, what if we could on some level have peacefulness and enjoyment in these times? And sometimes with some things that we're waiting on, like you mentioned health concerns earlier, I mean, I don't think enjoyment's going to be part of that, but I do think peacefulness is part of that.
And enjoyment could be. I mean, I think there's power in routine, even during the meantime, of just establishing, you know, some semblance of this is what's going to happen now. Maybe it's not our end goal, but for instance, I was building my practice, it was like, Thursday night, I would get tacos and I would watch this show with my son. And that was, I mean, we still talk about that. Oh, the best Thursday nights ever. And I could do that because I didn't have work. And so I think just establishing sometimes a little bit of a routine, you start to look forward to it, even if it's not exactly, not that I don't want to spend time with my son, but I was trying to build a practice, but it was like a great sort of, okay, well, this is part of this season.
That's a great point. And I actually think now that you're saying that, it's making me think that I think through time, as I've gotten older, I've sadly not become more patient, but less in some of these times. Like when I was in my practice, we had my oldest daughter and she was a year old and I would watch her during the day and I would work at night. And that was okay. It was okay that I was just seeing some clients at night and the practice was building. I think as I've gotten older, I recognize that maybe I'm expecting things to come more quickly and I'm being less patient. And so, you know, that's unfortunate because I think that patience is very much a virtue. So maybe if anyone out there can relate to that, potentially, while I think age and experience should help us be more patient, maybe sometimes when we have those experiences, we may have to work harder at it. I just will use the I. I think I have had to work harder. I didn't expect as much when I was younger. And so it was okay to wait on it.
Yeah. But I think as we get older, we build bigger things too, which have more mean time. So I think that's part of it too, is we're always sliding that out farther. So now instead of just building a practice, we want to build a group practice. So I think that's part of it, is we're shooting for bigger things. And so it's always going to have that mean time.
That's a great point.
So if you're sitting listening to this, obviously the mean time comes along lots of different things. I mean, it can come in relationships. It can come in our jobs. It can come with health. But we do have that kind of built into life. And I think the trick is just learning how to enjoy that place and maybe not see it as such a terrible time, because I think there can be things that we savor from that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my takeaway today. Would that be yours, or what do you get out of this?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the idea of savoring and appreciating, and it being not only okay, but actually really healthy to embrace the mean times, as hard as they can be sometimes, that's my takeaway. And certainly I want to continue to work on that and do that better in my mean times.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say absolutely not doing the no spend January. So that will not stick to me. But this is a great talk today. I learned a lot. I hope that everyone listening did too. And we will talk next time.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. Mike and I would also like to ask that if you've been enjoying the podcast, could you share it with a friend? We've loved getting all the feedback and comments thus far. Thanks.